This morning, as we mentioned, the president discussed the state of the economy in a speech at the Department of Transportation.
I want to begin with some plain talk. The economy's performance in the last quarter of 2008 was the worst in over 25 years. And frankly, the first quarter of this year holds out little promise for better returns.
And the president is hardly alone in his gloomy outlook. Everyone agrees the economy is in the dumps, but consensus evaporates when you ask, how bad will it get before it starts to turn around? Today, we start a series where we'll put that question to economists, industrialists, business leaders, to people who might know how to navigate from here down to the bottom, wherever that might be. We also want to hear from you from where you stand. Is there an end in sight? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website as well. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Jeffrey Sachs is our first guest on the series. He's the director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University. His most recent book is Commonwealth: Economics for a Crowded Planet, and he joins us from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
So how bad is it going to get?
Well, it's going to get worse, but it's not going to be a disaster in the end. We're going to have a very deep recession, but we're not going to have a depression. And we will pull out of this. And I believe, Neil, that we're going to pull out of it stronger than we were going into it.
What is going to be pared away? What is this crisis flensing from our bloated economy that needs to be burned off?
Well, what I think it's going to create is a renewed sense of fairness in this country, an economy not just run for the super rich, not just run for Wall Street, but an economy where everybody can expect access to health care, where everybody can expect that their children can get to school. And I think by the end of this, in order to have a recovery, indeed, as the president has rightly said, we're going to have to come out of this with sustainable technologies, with a new approach to our automobile culture, with the long mileage automobiles, with renewable energy, with answers to some of the really vexing problems that have been with us for a long time but haven't been solved. Now, in the meantime, there's going to be unemployment because the financial sector got way overdone. And, of course, everybody understands we mortgage to the hilt individually and as a country. And now the bubble has burst. Unemployment is going to rise sharply this year. But it isn't a bottomless spiral. It will bottom out at a painful level, perhaps 10 or 11% of the labor force. But then we'll start rebuilding.
And we should explain that you have some experience with seemingly bottomless spirals. You were in Eastern Europe 20 years ago when a lot of people were making the conversion from command economies, the old Soviet states, to, more market-driven economies. And the transition was not always very easy.
Well, I've probably witnessed close-up more terrible states of affairs, more crises, more hyperinflations than just about anybody else around. And I tell you, when you're going into them, it is terrifying. It looks like there is no end in sight. In Poland in 1989, there was fear that there would be civil war, that there would be starvation in the cities. That wasn't just rhetoric or polemics. That was real fear. Of course, within a year and a half, Poland had started to pull out of that. It had stabilized, and it saw the beginnings of economic growth, and as it wanted, made its way back to Europe. So I think the same is true here. What we're seeing right now is very frightening because we're in a very steep downturn, a very sharp rise of unemployment, and boy, do we have a mess in the financial sector, which is bleeding us and it's going to leave a very hefty bill for the taxpayers, no matter which way we take right now. But it isn't an endless spiral. And fortunately, we have a president who is direct, clear, and determined to get on top of this, and a new, fresh administration. I think that's extraordinarily important for us.
And we'll focus on those domestic issues in just a moment. I did want to return to Central and Eastern Europe just for a moment. Some of those countries are now experiencing very difficult times indeed, including some that are members of the European Union. And there are some who are concluding, hey, the communists collapsed 20 years ago. Their rivals in the Cold War just waited another 20 years to collapse.
I think that Western Europe ought to be doing a lot better for its central and eastern part right now. I was very unimpressed by Western European leadership last weekend when they basically said, oh, stop worrying, don't do anything too big. And I think that they downplayed what is a serious financial shock that Western Europe could be doing a lot more to help. But we are not in the moribund state of the former Soviet Union, not even close. Of the Soviet Union, I should say, in 1989, or the bankrupt state of Eastern Europe in that year. We have a strong technological base, a flexible economy, and unfortunately, terrible mismanagement of monetary policy. And looking the other way while the banks and our financial institutions ran absolutely wild. And that's what we're digging out of right now, but not a moribund economy. The other thing we did for a long, long time was simply neglect the most basic social decencies in this country. Help for the poor, attention for health care as the system really became unmanageable for tens of millions of people. And that's why reform is so important right now, why we should use this opportunity to not just recover, but to build a stronger country that's fairer, more resilient, and technologically more advanced.
Our guest is Jeffrey Sachs of the Earth Institute at Columbia University. Our question, the first in a series of guests who will be answering the question, well, how bad can it get? Let's see, we get another caller on the line. This is Kevin. Kevin calling us from St. Augustine in Florida.
Hey, Neil, Jeffrey. How are you doing?
Good.
Very good.
Hey, look, I think I know what the bottom of the economic crisis will look like. It's a turnaround in the housing market. And that happens when the oversupply of homes is sold. So we can actually define a bottom by buying the excess inventory. If we don't end the glut, if we don't buy the excess, then the inventory will only grow larger as more and more folks.
Are you talking about we as sort of Americans in general acting as individuals, or are we as the federal government?
The U.S. We have a median home price now nationally that is corrected. It's at $170,000, $180,000, which is correct by both historic and median income measures. So we can purchase the glut for $340 billion, which is about 20% of what we're shoveling out to the banks to cover the derivatives that are based on the mortgages that are failing. So we can define the bottom. We can buy the excess, take it off the market. The market turns. The construction industry goes back to work.
Well, Jeffrey Sachs, there's a panacea.
Right. Kevin, I don't think that there is a single magic bullet in this. The loss of wealth goes well beyond the housing sector. This is much more than a subprime problem. Our total loss of wealth, if you combine the stock market declines and the housing stock decline, is about $15 trillion from the peak. That's probably equal to 1 year's annual production. Consumers feel bereft. They feel impoverished. And they were overspending significantly. The saving rate in our country was negative. It was negative because people felt wealthy on the basis of paper assets in the stock market, as well as the seemingly unending upward spiral of housing. Even if the overhang of the houses works its way down, and of course it will, though I think that there's still further declines of housing prices to go, the wealth loss is going to be persistent. We're not going to recreate the old bubble, so we're not going to just jump back to where we were before. Indeed, what's happening is that people are saving for the first time. That's good. We don't want to discourage that. We don't want to go back to the binge a time which got us into this. But what we do need to do is turn that impulse to save, a proper impulse, into investment. And where I think the president really has it just right is that a lot of the investment that we need right now is public investment. It is to modernize our transport system. It's to modernize our medical or electronic records. It's to expand and modernize the broadband. And it's to rebuild about $2 trillion of infrastructure that our engineers tell us has fallen into a state of dilapidation. So as the consumers take a break, this is a good time for the public sector to make serious investments in building a 21st century infrastructure. That, I think, is the way we really reconcile the decline of consumption with the need to move forward. We do it through public investments, building a modernized, globally competitive economy.
Kevin, thanks very much. Let's see if we can go now to, this is Tom. Tom with us from Gastonia in North Carolina.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
Great. I realize I might be talking from a micro aspect of economics here, but I've heard a lot of talk about jobs having been sent overseas. I'd like to know when the policymakers are going to stop this draft of industrialization to third world countries and concentrate on reestablishing American manufacturing in the United States, where there is some investment, where the consumer can start to get the economic doldrums out of a recession.
And rebuild the middle class with good industrial jobs, Jeffrey Sachs.
Well, Tom, I think you're on to something very important. I don't think that the problem is mainly that we've sent jobs overseas, but the problem is that we haven't been exporting adequately to the rest of the world. We can be competitive. We can be technology leaders. We need to be exporting to the rest of the world much more than we have been, rather than just importing from the rest of the world. I think there are a few parts of that puzzle. One is that we really ought to be working with the world much more closely than we are. We're trapped in looking inside, but we need to be cooperating with China, huge buyer, with Europe and others, to make sure that we have a global recovery so that the U.S. can sell export goods to the rest of the world. That's number one. Second, we need to get back into the technological leadership. There's going to be a whole new generation of power plants running on new forms of solar, new forms of wind power, other advanced renewable technologies. There's going to be a new generation of automobiles. Why should we not be the ones to produce the plug-in hybrids and the fuel cell and the all-electric battery vehicles of the future, which definitely are going to replace the internal combustion engine? We invented hybrid technology. Japan commercialized it. It's time for America to get back into the technological lead on the things where we have such strong inventive potential. Then there's a financial aspect to this.
Thanks, Tom, for the call. We just have a minute left.
Oh, sorry.
And I wanted to ask you, if you're going to be looking for an indicator to tell you things are beginning to turn around, what would it be?
Well, I think if we get global cooperation so that we see, for example, that Asia, which really ought to be able to stabilize first of all the regions of the world, is starting to grow again, that will be the harbinger of the turn. If we finally get on top of this banking crisis much more directly than we have, let's stop nibbling at the problem and realize that some of our major banks just need to be in public hands to get cleaned up. That will also be a second part of it. And if we make a national consensus that we are going to invest our way through this, we're going to use this time to build a stronger and fairer country and technological upgrading, that will give the signal to everybody that America's on its way back.
Jeffrey Sachs, thanks so much for your time today. We do appreciate it.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
Jeffrey Sachs, director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University. His most recent book is Commonwealth: Economics for a Crowded Planet, with us today from our bureau in New York. Tomorrow, chimps and other wild animals as pets. Jane Goodall is among our guests. Plus, a governor argues against the death penalty because it costs too much. I'm Neil Cohn, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.